Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us this morning. The music this morning has been tremendous. I've been blessed already. If you are our guest, we're especially glad to have you on this very special day, the day before the birth, the day before we commemorate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. And we're going to read from chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. This is my text this morning, so you might want to keep it open to this spot in your Bible. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Matthew, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For this is what has been written by the prophet, quote, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." End of quote from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Now, Lord, this is certainly one of the most familiar stories related to Christmas. I doubt that there's anybody here who hasn't heard this story before, of the three magi, or the three wise men, or as the song immortalizes, the three kings from the Orient. Lord, it doesn't really matter what you call them or what their exact position or title may have been. But the reason we're looking at this passage is because of how they worship this child. Now, we know that Jesus is not in a manger now. He's not where he was born. This is some time removed from that. He's in a house now. But Lord, when they find the child, they immediately fall down, worship him, and give him. They give him gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So Lord, we see at the very beginning an emphasis on giving. What kind of giving do we see in this story? And that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later. So Lord, as I always pray, and I ask once again that you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to the truth of Scripture. That's the reason we're gathered here this morning, to hear from your word. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Having been raised in a Christian home and taught the true meaning of Christmas as a child, I have yet to learn how a secular society understands Christmas, even something simple like the giving of gifts. Now, I know that from a historical perspective, you can point to Turkey in the 4th century, to a bishop there named Nicholas. He reportedly gave gifts to poor children and earned the title of Saint Nick. Christians understand that we exchange gifts at Christmas because Christmas is about giving. God gave his son. The Magi, as we read, they gave their gifts. The babe would grow up to give his life. The triune God would give us salvation. Christmas is a gift exchange. Now, Christmas is also about doctrine, such as the hypostatic union. That's the theological term that describes the relationship between Christ's divine and human nature. We believe, Christians believe, that this baby who was born, 100% God and 100% man. He is fully God, fully man. He is the God-man. That's what's happening here on Christmas morning. We're going to see four things here that show us that Christmas is a gift exchange. Number one, at Christmas, Jesus was exchanging heaven for earth. At Christmas, Jesus was exchanging heaven for earth. The star, if you will, was heaven's birth announcement. It stands to reason that there would be a heavenly sign like a star because this is a heavenly arrival. It announces that God has sent you a gift. Heaven has sent you a gift. That gift is this child, this newborn babe who we first saw lying in a manger, who's now, in our text, in a house. Jesus existed before he was born. When I say heaven has sent you a gift, what I mean by that is there was someone who existed in heaven who was sent to earth. Jesus, at Christmas time, exchanged heaven for earth. Jesus existed before he was born in Bethlehem. He already was. Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The point there that Isaiah is making is, yes, there's going to be a child who was born, but in the birth of that child, there's going to be a son that is given who is much more than just a baby boy. He's actually going to be called Wonderful Counselor, God, even the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus was sent from heaven and given to us on earth. On that first Christmas, Jesus has left his home to come to yours. At Christmas time, Jesus left his home to come to yours. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. But notice, that verse makes no sense unless Jesus existed before his birth. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. He became poor. He was born on this earth to a relatively poor family during a time of world history that none of us would want to go back and live in because of how poor it was. Well, when was this baby ever rich? What does that mean? How did he become poor? Well, he was already rich because he already existed in glory. He already existed from eternity past. He came from heaven to earth. He left his home to come to our home. He left the splendor of heaven to come to the squalors of earth. Heaven has sent a gift. And that gift is heaven itself. We might become rich because he was willing to become poor. He exchanged heaven for earth. Secondly, at Christmas, Jesus was exchanging immaterial for material. He was exchanging immaterial for material. And by material, I mean flesh. We are not celebrating the birth of a baby, but the incarnation of God himself. We're not celebrating the birth of a baby. We're celebrating the incarnation of God himself. God the Son took on flesh. He became human. He became, he was 100% God, and at the incarnation, he became 100% man. Why would he do that? Why would he change God is spirit, we know from the scripture. So why would Jesus leave that realm and come to earth and take on mortal flesh? Why would he do that? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, for this perishable, that's us, must put on imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, the only way that this perishable could put on imperishable, and this mortal could put on immortality, is if he who was immortal was willing to become mortal. And he was unperishable, was imperishable, was willing to become perishable for us. He took on flesh, so that we could take on his nature, so that we could take on a new nature, that we could get a new body. But he had to first die. He became flesh so that he could die as mortal, so that we could become immortal. And at Christmas, he was exchanging the immaterial for the material. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. So he, if you read John 1, which we're going to do this evening, if you read John 1, we see that he was called the Word. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. And he became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And then John goes on to say that he saw his glory, I think referring to the Mount of Transfiguration. But nevertheless, the emphasis here is that the Word became flesh. Jesus put mortal in place of immortality so that we can put immortality in the place of mortal. So again, Christmas isn't about the birth of a baby. It's about the incarnation. That word literally means in flesh. It's about the incarnation of God the Son. God the Son took on flesh for you. That's the gift from heaven for you. We know in the Gospels, he got hungry. He experienced hunger. He experienced hunger pains. You know why he got hungry? For you. He became mortal. We know in the Bible that he wept. You know why he wept? He wept because we weep. We read in the Bible that he got sleepy. I saw a t-shirt that said, Jesus took naps. He did, right? Remember the story of the boat? He's sleeping in the bottom. He's taking a nap. They're all worried to death. He's taking a nap. He got sleepy. He got tired. Why did he do that? For you. He became flesh for you. He became thirsty. He said, I thirst. Why would God thirst? He became man for you. He became flesh for you. He gets hungry, he gets thirsty, he gets sleepy, he gets tired for you. He took on all these human needs and necessities, he took upon himself for you. That is his gift. He exchanged his life for your life. Philippians 2:8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's it. Why did he become man? Why did he humble himself to become man? I think I mentioned this maybe last week, or recently. Sometimes hear the illustration. Well, when Jesus became, when God became flesh, it was like moving from the difference between God and a worm. But that's not even close. We're less than a worm when compared to God. He humbled himself to that point. Why? So he could die. That's the reason. No death, no necessity of incarnation. God can't die. People die. Humans die. Mortals die. God the Son gave his life for you. God the Son gave his life for you. So Christmas is just a gigantic gift exchange. At Christmas, Jesus is exchanging heaven for earth. At Christmas, Jesus is exchanging immaterial for flesh. At Christmas, Jesus was exchanging fellowship for separation. Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, this, of course, occurred on the cross. That death that we just read about in Philippians 2:8. He became obedient to even death on the cross. And on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I need to tread lightly here because I understand God doesn't change and the fellowship of the Trinity didn't change and that fellowship has always been the same. But in his human experience, he felt forsaken. He felt forsaken as he's hanging on that cross naked for crimes he did not commit. As he took upon him your sin, he felt forsaken by God because God cannot look upon sin. At Christmas, he exchanged this fellowship for separation. He was willing to leave that fellowship, if you will, that place of fellowship, to come to earth and suffer for being forsaken in his humanity. Jesus existed for all eternity in perfect fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. We call this the doctrine of the Trinity. Trinity, triunity, the triunity of God. We sang about it just a little bit ago. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, 3 in 1. That's the Trinity. Genesis 1:26, we read, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in existence before creation. So they were always in perfect fellowship. And again, I try to tread carefully here. They were still in fellowship because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit do not change. But in his humanity, just as God doesn't get hungry, and God doesn't get thirsty, and God doesn't get sleepy, Jesus was willing to feel forsaken for us, for you. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Christ loved us so much, he gave himself up for us and sacrificed himself for us. Jesus gave that perfect fellowship. Jesus gave all that up for you. He came to die for you. He became flesh to die for you. At Christmas time, Jesus was exchanging his life for yours. At Christmas, Jesus was exchanging his life for yours. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What a gift that Jesus brought from heaven to earth. to be restored into fellowship with God. See, we're the ones who were forsaken by God. We're the ones who are out of fellowship with God. But we don't have to be. Jesus gave his life for ours. The gospel is the greatest gift exchange of all. The gospel is the greatest gift exchange of all. I can exchange my sin for Christ's righteousness. I can exchange my sin for Christ's righteousness. That's the greatest gift of all. That's the greatest gift exchange ever. I have nothing to offer. And Christ has everything to offer. That's why we say that the birth of Christ is really about the death of Christ. The birth of Christ is really about the death of Christ. It's because he came to die that he was born. Hebrews tells us that a body God had prepared for him to be that ultimate sacrifice. Jesus gave his life so that we may live. Jesus gave his life so that we may live. Christ died for us. Christ died for you. The Christ child died for you. The gospel is the fact that God became flesh, dwelt among us, lived the perfect life that we could not live, died a death he did not deserve, was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. If you don't know that, then you don't know Christmas. Jesus gives his death, and then he gives us life in return. Jesus was exchanging his life for yours. I don't know what you're getting for Christmas. Don't ask me, I can't tell you. But I do know this. You have already been given the greatest Christmas gift ever. It is yours but to receive. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let's pray. Father, we cannot wrap our minds around the fact that Jesus left the splendor of heaven for the squalor of earth. We can't comprehend it. All that he laid aside, as Philippians says, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, taking on the appearance of a man. Why? To save us. I mean, this salvation story is all over the Christmas story. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Lord, as a believer, I have great appreciation that Christmas involves giving gifts. It certainly is not the focus. It's not the only thing we should be thinking about at Christmas time, what I'm going to get or what I'm going to give. But Lord, we do understand why it has become such an integral part of Christmas, because Christmas is about giving, but it's the fact that you, God, gave your Son to give us life. Thank you. Lord, my prayer is for those of us here who have been saved, who have called upon Christ, that this Christmas we would have an even greater appreciation of the great gift that we have been given. But Lord, I would pray for these here who do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've heard the gospel, perhaps they heard it today, but they're not sure. Lord, I pray that you will take that message and impress it upon their heart. And Lord, if they want to know more, I'd be thrilled to talk to them, God, sometime about it. So, Father, we thank you so much that Christ came at Christmas for us. Amen.